Skal vi se. Det virker. Ok, da skal vi se. På venstre side ser dere et Aarseths diagram. Yes, on the left-hand side you see a causal loop diagram. On the right-hand side you see a model which simulates. The left one is a qualitative model. It doesn't simulate, but it gives you the idea that there are variables that are influencing each other in a reinforcing way. In the right one, we need to put in more detail so as to be able to create a simulation model. And you see, in addition to the two variables, customer base, which on the right are represented as customers, and sales, which on the is represented as the flow of new customers, there are more variables there that are needed in order to have a full model. The other thing that you see is the distinction of the variables. On the left, sales and customer base, they do not differentiate what they are. On the right-hand side, they do. So again, left and right. Left is causal loop or a causal diagram. Right, stock and flow model. And where you see left customer base, we see here customers, it's the same, they mean the same. Where you see sales, we have new customers because that's what happens. Each sales result in a new customer, adding to the customers. We are neglecting the possibility that some people may be customers from before. This is to begin with a simplification. But then you see there are more variables. And you see also that here we don't distinguish what kind of variables there are, but here we do. So in a causal loop diagram, no differences. Here customers is the stock. And new customers is a flow. Remember, this can be called level and rates as well. Let's look now the next slide, which is actually qualitatively the same, but we have an issue related to information security. So on the left-hand side, we have the number of infected PCs, and the more they are, the more virus that are spread, virus infection, and the more infected PCs, and so on. So you get a reinforcing feedback loop, which leads to infection. On the right-hand side, you see the same thing now as a model that can be simulated, where we have infected PCs as a stock. Virus infection is a flow that is adding to infected PCs. But in order to simulate this, we have to add a few more variables. And then we are going to do the following. We are going to create this model with VenSim. So let's open VenSim. I suppose all of you have VenSim, but I see not all of you have laptops. You forgot it. Okay. So the best thing is to take notes while we are doing so that you can reproduce that. Do you have VenSim installed in your computer at home? But that's important that you do. And you know how to install it? Because I wrote it in there, in one of the documents, how to do that. Okay? So let's start Vensim. There it comes. So I look at the model so that I am using the same variables. So the first thing I'm going to do is to create the stock infected PCs. And to do that, the first thing we have to do actually is to activate a new model. So with Vensim, you guys, what I am doing is now creating this model for reinforcing feedback, describing how PCs are infected by virus infection. So first we need a new model, file new model, and the window that appears here allows us to select several things. We can select first the units for time. So let's assume that it is a virus epidemic that goes over a couple of days. So days would not be the best variable. It's to coarse the detail. Hours will be best. So here in units for time, we select hour. The integration type Euler, we leave it for the time being. I will explain later what it is. So not everything that is here needs to be changed. But we have to specify for how much time we are going to simulate. Let's assume we simulate for 48 hours, 2 days. Then there is a question here, which it's very important, but for the time being, we leave unchanged. This here, the time step, you should never let Vensim determine which is the right time step. It's okay to start with the default value, which is always 1, but one of the critical things to do is to choose the time step to the right value. We will have a chapter later as to the choice of the time step. That much I will advance now, and that is the time step is the distance within successive computations. What happens in simulation is that Vensim will start at time 0 and go in successive cycles, increasing by time step until it comes to the final time. If you choose, if you leave the time step at once, that means it simulates as time 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's doing computations. But time flows continuously. So in reality, an exact calculation should be continuously updating the state of the system. But that's not possible. You cannot have a computer that is computing all the time without, because there are infinite numbers. Not only infinite, it's a continuous segment. So what a computer can do is to approximate the continuous flow of time by successive steps. But then, in order to get accurate results, you have to make the steps small. And here is the issue. How small? And the answer is, it depends on which accuracy you want. So if you are a professional modeler, then you have some specification. Compute the state of the system with the accuracy, whatever, 1%, 0.5%. This is a requirement which is set up. And based on that requirement, you have to find out and test by choosing the right time step that your accuracy is that one. We come later back to that. But then you are perhaps a little bit confused because they will say, okay, so what is the accuracy I am supposed to use? And the answer is, for students, the accuracy is visual accuracy. The curves that you are simulating should not change anymore if you make the time step smaller. So you achieve the desired accuracy when it is visual, no visual change anymore. This is a soft variable. So some people have better eyesight than others, and they will perhaps go one step farther. But the point is not so much that you are exact as to what is the visual accuracy. The point is you should ask yourself, how I'm satisfied that the curves are no longer changing, and then set up the time steps so that you achieve that. And this you have to put in your reports. When you are delivering your reports to me, then you should put something like this: I simulated with time step so and so and so, and then when I came to that time step, I found that was accurate enough visually. I am satisfied then. I won't quarrel with you because you chose a different visual accuracy than some other. But I want you to do that. The procedure typically is to have the time steps. So you would simulate first with one, then you will choose from here half of it and simulate, then you will choose half of it and simulate until you find the result is okay. But we don't do that for the time being. Let's keep it at one for the time being. So we put the initial time, normally we call it zero, the final time, 48, the units hours. We leave the time step for the time being as default, click OK, and then we can start building the model. And the model that we have built is this one. We need a stock infected PCs. We need a flow that adds to the number of infected PCs, which is the virus infection. So here, in these leads, we find everything we need. If I move here, then you see the box variable, level, which is the stock, it's the same thing. Click on that. Click somewhere. Write a name. Enter. And there you have the box. And there you have the name, which is the right-hand side of the diagram that I showed you. I wonder why these chairs are so small. I think I have to put a second one on top, otherwise I disappear under the... Let's see if that helps. Yes, it's a little bit unstable, but... Okay, some coffee. Okay, so then we need a flow. Look at the diagram here, this one. Then I will explain the clouds and so on. The flow is this guy here. So remember, it has two names, flow or rate. Here it's rate, so that's the flow, that's the rate. Click on that, then it is selected. Then you click somewhere here to the left, no matter where, but approximately in a half, and go with that inside. And while you're inside the box, inside the stock, click again. Then you get a text field, and here in the text field you write virus infection. And you have to read this diagram like this. From somewhere, I don't care from where, that's what a cloud means, I'm getting virus that are infecting my system. If you cared after where the viruses came from, some virus factory, somewhere, then you will have to put another box there. Virus in store somewhere or whatever, or generation. But we don't care. You determine in the model what you are interested in. If you would be interested in knowing more about the virus factory, then you will model that part. If you are not interested, then you leave it as a cloud. That means that this information is not counted in the system. Later, we will create a model where we do care where the viruses come from. They come from other infected PCs. So that will change later. But at the time being, I am only concerned about this part here, which is a simplified version of what occurs in reality. Another way of considering this is there are so many infected machines that have a virus that even... I am confusing you. That's not correct. The virus infections, actually what they do is they are transforming uninfected pieces to infected pieces. I said silly things. So I'm sorry. So in reality, this is a process whereby uninfected pieces become infected pieces. So this cloud here is actually the stock or the level that would count uninfected pieces. The virus infections is the process that changed their status from uninfected to infected. So it was wrong what I said of a virus machine. Sorry. Probably I need more coffee. Don't believe that the professor doesn't make mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes. But we have to admit that and recognize them. Then that's okay. Okay, so the cloud means we don't care as to who is transformed, where, how many uninfected pieces are. Maybe we care later in a different version of the problem. For the time being, we have a process whereby uninfected pieces, no matter how many, are being changed to the status of infected. Okay. So, now, what is causing the virus infections? Well, when you have a virus infection, you need to have a contact between an infected and an uninfected computer. The contact means there is some exchange, some infected program that is passed or whatever, or USB stick or so. So that means we need a variable, and since this variable is going to be computed from other quantities, it is an auxiliary, and this auxiliary is the variable to the left of the box, this one here. Click on that, put in here, and just to be sure, I call it the same name like here, contacts between infected and uninfected pieces. We have it here. And now the story is like this. I can move this around so that I have it where I like. The infected pieces influence the number of contacts, and this number of contacts influences the number of infections. But not every contact results in an infection, because maybe somebody sends you an infected program, but you are skeptical and don't open the program. So we have to put in the probability that the contact results in an infection. And this means we need a constant. Click on this. We don't distinguish the variables from constants, so it is an auxiliary as well. And put here the name infection probability. And this is going to influence the resulting of various infections. So this is the outcome of having contacts and the fact that there is a probability of infection. Notice the difference between this and this. Infection probability has only an outgoing arrow. Contacts has an ingoing arrow and an outgoing arrow. The ingoing arrow says this is not a constant. This is a variable. This is influenced by something else. Whereas the infection probability, it doesn't have ingoing arrows. It is a constant because it doesn't change. It is not influenced for something else. Okay? Now, let's try and model this. It is not quite what I have here, but I will explain when I come that far as to this. But the story is virus infection increases the number of infected PCs. The number of infected PCs via contacts that occur between infected and uninfected leads to virus infection with some probability. That's what this story is. Now, let's save this. And I can put this in somewhere here. Class exercises, virus infections. I call this virus infection 1 because I'm going to have a version 2. The polarities are explanatory. They do not other thing than just tell you visually the influence. And we can put them, I will put them later. They are not absolutely necessary. It's a decision as to whether we do. Once people get used to read these diagrams, when we don't put so many arrows, polarities and so on, in causal diagrams we do. Because the causal diagrams, they don't tell you how the influence is. But here we are going to put equations and numbers so you can find out if the influence has positive or negative polarity. But we will put in nevertheless for the beginning, for the time being. Now, if you look at the list here, you can guess that this y equals square is an icon for how to enter equations. So let's do that. The moment you click on that, every variable gets a black background. And this is a way of venting, of telling you, hi, these variables are not yet defined. How should we proceed? Well, there is a golden rule. And the golden rule is start with the constants. So, defining equations in VenSim. One, start with constants. Why? Well, because variables depend on the constants, so it's wise to you cannot define the variables if the constants are not defined. So that's the logical thing. So where are the constants? This is a constant here. So click on that. And what is the infection probability? Well, it's just a guess. Let's assume it's 0.2. So 0.2. You see an equal sign here? The variable infection probability is expecting us to put some number here. Then you see a lot of other things that can be confusing to begin with. There are only, for the time being, only two more things that we need to care about. First the volume, then the unit. And the units are here. Some units are predefined. So if you open this, then I see two units. The hour, which is the unit of time that I chose, and a strange guy, which is called DMNL. What is this? Well, actually, this is simply an abbreviation for dimensionless. And units are also called dimensions. So dimensionless is the same as unitless. Are there things that are unitless? Yes. You have unitless or dimensionless quantities when they are proportions. So a proportion doesn't have units. A probability is actually a proportion. Probability of 0.2 can be read like in 20 out of 100 cases an infection occurs. So because you are comparing infections against infections, this is a proportion, it doesn't have dimensions. So you click on DMNL for that. And then finally, in the area comment, that's where we put in explanations That's the documentation part of the program. So whenever the variable that you are using is not intuitively self-explanatory, you should add some information. Infection probability should be quite self-explanatory, but just for the exercise, I put in here an explanation. We assume that not every infectious contact leads to an infection. Rather, there is a certain probability that the contact infects. Something like this. Then it's completely clear that infection probability is explaining this. And then, if you click now OK, then this is defined. And you must promise me, those of you who haven't the computer here, that you reproduce this exercise later. The model you find actually in the frontal room in form of a zip file. There are several models, so you can in principle check with what is in there. Okay, then we will later see there is another constant, but I haven't put it yet because I want to reason that we need another constant. The other thing that we need after the constants are initial values of the stocks. We must only identify what is the value of the stock when the simulation starts. And we have only one stock, that is infected PCs. So we click on that. And you will see that this window is slightly different from the first one. Remember the first one? We had the name of the variable equal something. And then a lot of things there. Now, click on that. And we have here first equal, and we see integ and a parenthesis. And then we see an entry for the initial value. So, what does this mean, this here? Well, it means that Svensim knows that it is the virus infection that are changing the variable infected PCs. So that's the point. And the way Svensim calculated this is by invoking a mathematical function, and a good guess is that integ means integration. And that's actually what it's doing. The process of computing the impact of the flows on a stock is by integration. So Svensim is actually a system of differential equations that are integrated. So, but the point is, we lack the initial value. That's the only thing you need to put in there. Well, let's assume the whole thing starts with one infected PC. And then we are left with two things, the units. So, if you look at units, we don't have a unit for that. So, how do we count that? Well, we can call the unit PCs. We are counting PCs that are infected. So we can call it PCs or whatever else you like. And then we can put the comment, and then we assume that at time zero, one PC is infected. You could make a different assumption. But we assume the whole thing starts in that one of the PCs, say an intranet, has been infected. Somebody has done something he or she shouldn't have done, and we have that. Then you see this disappears. And then what we do is follow the arrows to define the other variables. define the remaining variables. Which means that we will now proceed to this, because we have defined what enters, influences this, and then we finish. Okay, so we click on the contacts. So, the contacts, how do we compute this? Well, it depends on two things. It depends on how many infected PCs there are. But it depends also on the frequency of contacts between the PCs. So if you have a company and they are exchanging documents with a certain frequency, let's say 2 documents per hour or whatever, so that's the what we should put in there. So what I am saying is we need 2 things. One we have already, the other one we don't have. And the wise thing to do is to introduce this as a constant. So, and that's what we have here. Only I wanted you to convince that it was necessary. So we put in here a new constant, which is, we give the name, we call it the fractional contact rate. Rate is a little bit a dangerous name because it's often applied to the flow. The rate is actually something that measures something over time. So that we don't confuse this with the rate, which is the other name for the flow, we call it fractional. It means also that it is a name that relates to some relation between two fractions, a fraction rather. We call it this and put the arrow inside. And click again on the definition of the equations, and we have to define that constant. So what is the fractional contact rate? Let's put in 2. 2 what? It should be number of PCs that have contacts with PINCIPs per time unit. So it should be PCs divided by PCs divided per time. So the fractional contact rate should be 2 PCs divided per PCs divided per hour, because it's the contacts from PCs to PCs. But this and this cancels, and we can put 2 divided by hour. So the unit should be 1 divided by hour. And then you can put in some comment. I am not going to use more time, but you should clarify everything, document everything that is not immediately apparent. Click on that. Then we click on this. And then notice the following. In this window, we have the 2 guys here in variables that are influencing it. They are listed there. Vensim knows that because of the diagram. And Vensim is expecting you to use both. If you don't do that, Vensim is going to complain. So we have to use both. And then we have to reason. The more infected PCs, the more contacts there will be between infected and uninfected PCs. So the equation must be proportional to infected PCs. And if you click here, it jumps up. You have it there. You don't need to spell it. You shouldn't, because it's so easy to make mistakes. But it is also proportional to the fractional contact rate. If instead of 2 contacts per PC to PC per hour, you had 10, there will be 5 times as much. So it is proportional. So we have to multiply, and multiply, that is the star in the keyboard. But here you have also, as you can see, a small keyboard, so you can click on that. And here is the star for multiplying, so we can click on that. And multiply by the fractional contact rate, you click on that, and there it is. So the logic is proportional to each. This is a simple equation. Just by thinking a little bit, you find out what it is. Not always are the equations so easy to find out, so sometimes you have to involve other mathematics, or you have perhaps to find out from experience, or perhaps there is some theory or whatever. But for the time being, we keep it simple. In this case, it is like that. Now the units. Since infected PCs has a unit, and the fractional contact rate has a unit, the unit of this product is given. And that means we don't need to select it here. Rather, we click on that. Click on this one, and there it comes. So it finds out for us it is pieces per hour. And then you can put some documentation here, if you think. Okay, this disappears. And we are left now with the last variable, virus infections. Click on that. And again, we see that the two variables that are influencing it are there. And again, the logic is, the more contacts between infected and uninfected PCs, the more virus infections. So it must be proportional to that. But it is also proportional to the infection probability, so multiply by infection probability. By the same logic, the units must be given. Click on that. And then we put in some documentation. Okay, and everything is in place. Then you should save it. And when you save this, you can simulate. When the model is here, actually you can test if the model is correct in terms of equations and units. If you go to model, you can check model. The model is okay. And you can check units. The units are also okay. And now to simulate, you click on the guy who is running here, run a simulation. You click. And it has simulated. It has computed the results. How do we see that? You have to select some variable. There is always some variable selected. And you see that here. It says Vensim, that's the tool. Virus infection 1, that's the name of the model. VAR, virus infection. That means virus infection is selected. So if you click now on this window here, you get a curve for the number of virus infections. And that's quite impressive. Starts with very little, just from 1, but after 2 days you are up in more than 3 million, nearly 4 million. We don't quarrel for the time being and so on. Let's that will be an epidemic of virus affecting the whole world. If you now select this variable, infected PCs, you see it immediately shown here, and click this graph, then you see the total number of infected viruses, infected PCs, is up in 10 million after 2 days. Now the question is, is the time step okay? Well, you are not going to see a difference with such huge numbers, but we can do that. Let's say what happens if we go to model, settings, and take a much smaller time step. Say, actually we should do it stepwise until we don't see a difference. But let me jump down to 1/4, 1/8, 1/16, and see if this value changes. So here I have about 10 million. I simulate. And look at this. And yes, it changed a lot. I get nearly 200 million. So there you see how important the time step is. If you are doing the computations every hour, we are doing the computations every 60th of an hour, that makes a huge difference here. Now we should continue and make it even smaller until we don't see a change. Settings, instead of 1/16, 1/32, parts, simulate and that's approximately the same, about 200 million. So now we have the time step that gives us approximately this visual accuracy for this case. Sometimes the time step one is okay. It depends on the problem, it depends on the scale and so on. But the point is you should always define the time step in a way that it is appropriate. We are going to stop in a minute and take a break again until half. Now I want to alert you about one thing. You have on the one hand this set of lectures here where you can learn a lot, but you do have a very good theory explained here in VenSim Help. So if you click Help and click VenSim Manuals, then you have here a reference manual, which is more about the details of VenSim, a user's guide, which is also